to ease or not to ease, attention turns to the Federal Reserve.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. The Federal Reserve wraps up its two-day policy meeting today. It's expected to announce whether it will pump more stimulus money into the U.S. economy. That would make a third round of so-called quantitative easing. Here to explain what that is and what it would mean is our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Chris, just to start out very basically, if you wouldn't mind reminding us again, what exactly is quantitative easing part three?
Okay. In essence, this is the unconventional, controversial program of the Fed to buy long-term bonds like U.S. Treasuries. It also has, you know, usually comes with a couple other things with the package. Like, it's widely expected that the Fed will say, we're going to keep those short-term interest rates really down out till 2015 or something like that. But it's mostly this buying long-term bonds, which is an attempt to bring down long-term rates even further, which might encourage people to buy more cars and more homes.
They always refer to this as pumping money into the U.S. economy. How is this pumping money into the U.S. economy?
Well, part of it just has to do with the mechanics of it in terms of the Fed is buying bonds, so therefore it's putting money into the system. But the real effect is on interest rates, if it brings down interest rates. And, you know, at one level, if you look at mortgage rates, right? Mortgage rates are already low. Maybe they come down a little bit lower. At least they stay the way they are. And I think one of the things really to be looking at is will the Fed do more bond buying in the mortgage-backed securities market, which might help mortgage rates stay down? Because the housing market is one of the few really bright spots right now in this economy. It is improving. It is getting better. That might bolster confidence.
Well, in this round of pumping money into the U.S. economy, is this QE3 any different from QE1 or QE2?
Well, on a technical basis, there's an expectation there will be some differences. For example, it might be a more open-ended program as opposed to saying we're going to buy $600 billion worth of bonds, which they did in one of the previous QEs. But I think the real effect here is this is a move to shore up the global economy. I mean, Stacey, you got all these problems in Europe and, you know, China is slowing down and the U.S. economy's got its problems. And so I think what the Fed is doing, along with the European Central Bank, the two main central banks in the world, they both will be making fairly dramatic moves to shore up the global economy just to allow the U.S. to continue to grow and hopefully with time get a lot better.
Chris Farrell is the economics correspondent for us here at Marketplace. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks a lot.
And taking a look at the markets this morning. Asian markets were mixed. European markets are sagging, though. London's FTSE is down 0.1%. The DAX in Germany is off 0.4%. U.S. markets inched up yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at 13,333. Directors at Ford Motor Company are meeting today. There's word the agenda could include the first step toward a change in management at the company. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
To borrow a slogan the carmaker made famous years ago,
Ford has a better idea.
Analysts find it hard to imagine anyone with a better idea than the company's highly regarded turnaround whiz, Alan Mulally. He's now guided Ford through 13 straight profitable quarters. But at 67, he's nearing retirement, causing analysts to wonder who could top his performance.
Alan Mulally is such an enormous figure overshadowing everybody else at Ford to some extent. I would imagine it's been a topic of discussion at many Ford dinner tables, you know, of employees at Ford.
IHS Global's Rebecca Lindland says it's also making stockholders anxious. There are reports Mark Fields will be named chief operating officer, putting him in place to take the helm next year. Fields ran overseas operations for Ford, and analyst Jesse Tuprak at TrueCar.com says that should serve him well.
We think that 80% of all growth in new vehicle sales in the next 10 years will happen outside of the United States. And the global understanding of Fields will be an advantage for him going forward.
And with 23 years at the carmaker, Fields is a Ford idea man from way back. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
In case you missed the big launch, Apple's iPhone 5 was unveiled last night. It's 20% lighter and 18% thinner and goes on sale next week. 50 million iPhone 5s could get snapped up by the end of the year, and each one is a potential cash cow for the wireless carrier the iPhone customer chooses. But the cell phone companies will have to spend money to make money, as Mitchell Hartman explains.
When I finally give in and upgrade to that sleek new iPhone 5 with its bigger screen and smarter Siri, it'll probably cost me $199. But Apple could get as much as $600. A lot of the difference will be paid by my wireless carrier, AT&T. The carriers subsidize new smartphones to encourage consumers to upgrade and stay around. That drives profits down, says Roger Cheng of CNET.
It's a financial burden, a bittersweet pill, particularly in the near term. You'll see a lot of these companies post losses rather than profits.
But without fat subsidies, consumers might not trade up and pay for cool new wireless services, says analyst Will Stofega at IDC.
Subsidies have a measurable effect on the adoption of new technology.
To make the subsidies back, the carriers lock you into a long-term contract and up your data charges. Stofega says the industry would just as soon junk this system of discount now, gouge you later.
There's no rational reason to do this. The reason is because everyone else does it. So if one carrier says they're not going to go out and subsidize anything anymore, their competitors are going to say, okay, great, well, we're just going to grab up all your customers.
So for now, expect more sweet subsidies and more charges down the road. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, now you can reserve the right to Elmo. This year, Toys R Us will let shoppers reserve in-demand items from a 50 hottest holiday toys list. Early bird holiday shoppers will just need to sign up and make a 20% down payment before October 31st. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.